Welcome back, friends. I think this must be a very important conversation, given the difficulty Sarah and I have had with the technology. All right. We left off with turn towards Jesus Christ. So let's stepping back just a little bit to make the run into that point. The goal, the why, the telos of our formation of conscience is to know that God is our Father, who really and truly wants us to be in a personal and living relationship with me. The Father, the Lord of all, wants to be in a personal fatherly relationship with me. And that the Father, is good. That he really wants only what is best for me. To really know that in our heart of hearts, right? Adam and Eve did not know that. That was the beginning of their downfall. So therefore, I want to form my heart in such a way as to correspond to the Father's, because I really want to have that trust that what he wants for me is for my very best.
Right.
And that is the reason for Jesus. That's the reason for Jesus. It's an interesting fact on the Sermon on the Mount where he gives the Magna Carta for the Christian life. He never once talks about himself.
Right, yeah.
It's us and the Father, us and the Father, us and the Father. And when we see Jesus, we see the Father. Not only do we see the Father, he is the only way to the Father. He's not a preferred way. He's not one of many ways. He's not whatever other use. He is the only way. He really is. He's the only way. When Jesus says to Philip in John 14:9, when you see me, you see the Father. And I've always found St. Faustina's phraseology on the divine mercy a bit enigmatic, meaning Jesus, I trust in you.
Right.
Not Jesus, I love you, or Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. All those things are true, by the way, not disparaging them, but that I trust you. So Jesus, I trust you. I trust you to do what? I trust that you will lead me to a true understanding of the will of the Father. I trust that you are really the way, the truth, and the life, as you said, you know, all the things he teaches.
And that's essential right now, because our moral compass in regards to who or what is to be the trusted source by which we can gauge whether or not our conscience is appropriately formed has been skewed so radically by the modernists. So, you know, we have a very difficult time talking about the truth of what is freedom and what is liberty and what is, because we have now substituted the meaning of liberty, we've substituted the actual definition for licentiousness.
That's
liberty, correct. John Paul II, when he was in Denver, I believe, came up with a phrase where he said, liberty is the freedom to choose to do what you ought. To be free is to be able to be, to be liberated or to have liberty is to be able to choose the good, right? No man is free to choose evil. No man is free to choose evil. And so consequently now we have substituted that true understanding of what liberty is, which is the ability to choose the good, with licentiousness, which is the ability to do what you want or whatever the government permits. Well, that is a very sad substitute for your conscience.
Very sad. Very, very sad. So Sarah's getting straight into, so how we do it. Well, we're not going to look to the government. And we're not going to be looking to, a lot of sources. We might want to. So where do we turn to? And we turn to natural or moral law. So if we love and trust Jesus, we're going to do what he says. And for the formation of conscience, Yes, everybody likes the checklist, and I'm and Sarah and I will, you know, we'll put up here the good confession list, which is nice and all that. But I'm proposing that we can't just give out the checklist and you say, okay, I don't do all these things, or I do these things, depending on how the list is formulated, and say, therefore, we're all good to go. And the analogy that I came up with this, while the checklist is good, in and of itself is insufficient. If we compare to other professions or other groups of people who use checklists that we can understand better, so like the EMS people or pilots, right? They have checklists they make for the EMS, you know, that they've got. If this person's presenting these certain symptoms, they do this A, B, C, D, da, 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 and it's short and sweet, and they know, boom, boom, boom. Right. That checklist is a summary. It jogs the memory of prior hours and days and weeks and years of experience and training, and
I mean, it's essentially a bare minimum.
It's a bare minimum. I could not if Sarah and I were handed the checklist to be at EMT, without a prior formation, a prior education, it's just not going to go well. Right. And that's the same is true for the moral life. It's important to know we shouldn't be sleeping around. And it's important that we should know, we should honor our mother and father, and we shouldn't be using birth control, and we shouldn't be doing this, and we should do that. But that's just after we've gotten this relationship with our Heavenly Father straight, does that part make sense?
Right. I mean, the Ten Commandments are a codified list of shalls and shall nots, right? But until they pierce the heart, they're just words on paper or words on rock, right? I mean, they have to be imbued, like you said. I mean, when we're talking about the epistemology of the person, we can never leave those three elements that are bound so tightly: curiosity, trust in the source, and how your conscience is properly formed. And otherwise, I mean, like Karen said, that the checklist of an EMT is useless to both of us because we have no lived experience. We might be able to muddle through, and thanks be to God that we had the checklist, because maybe we do have enough just generic lived experiences as mothers that we might be able to muddle through that. But that's not going to be the best case scenario, right? The best case scenario is not that Karen or I arrive on the scene of your distress. The best case scenario is that an EMT arrives, because you will receive the benefit of all of the lived experience. And when you're forming your conscience, you don't want to be just sufficient. You really want all that you can be. Our Lord did not make you to be sufficient. He made you to be the son or daughter of himself. And that is so much more than just sufficiency.
So true. It's so true. It's so true. All right, my friends, to the next time. Fides et ratio. I'm scared.